The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
Well, last week, the BC government acceded to demands to restore the disability assistance supplement that they created for COVID but cut at the end of last year, down from 300 to half of that and then down to zero. Here's a clip from BC's Minister of Social Development and Poverty Reduction, Nicholas Simons, about the announcement to partially reverse the cuts to disability assistance, making permanent a $175 boost to rates that are currently sitting around $1,150 a month, well below the poverty line in Vancouver and most of BC.
So this past year has been a challenging one for all British Columbians, and especially for those relying on assistance to help them make ends meet. Now that we're seeing some signs of economic recovery from COVID-19, it's essential that we provide some stability for people and families, including 49,000 children who are living in poverty. To that end, I'm very pleased to announce that today the province is increasing social assistance and disability assistance rates by $175 per month. No action is required by ministry clients. People receiving income assistance and disability assistance will see these increases on their April 21st checks. This is the largest permanent increase and the third increase since we formed government in 2017. The three increases total $325 per month. We're also increasing the senior supplement by $50 a month, which will double the maximum amount and directly impact and benefit approximately 80,000 seniors. People eligible for the senior supplement will automatically see their payment on their April 28th check. Our government is committed to making life better for all British Columbians and recognizing that a strong and sustainable economic recovery must include everyone. You know, in March 2020, the government introduced a supplement of $300 as we began this challenging time to meet the needs of people during the pandemic. The $300 temporary supplement was extended not once but twice, and it ended up lasting until the end of December. We also brought in the recovery benefit, which was open to all British Columbians earning less than $125,000 a year. So the increase today that I'm announcing is for $175 for people on income assistance and disability assistance. And it's the largest single increase in the history of British Columbia. And I've been fortunate to be able to talk to some people in the sector and this is a welcome news. The cost for this increase will be approximately $400 million per year. I think demonstrate that our government is committed to continuing this process of reducing poverty. And it can't happen all at once. I think that the largest permanent increase is a very important and very strong step towards the goal of reducing poverty. But we have other ways of contributing to the reduction of poverty and to improving the quality of life of people who are living with low income. So income assistance rates are a part of that, and I'm really pleased to be able to announce this increase today.
Nicholas Simons, BC's Minister of Social Development and Poverty Reduction. While a rally last Thursday drew people downtown who gave speeches about what the cuts meant to them and how people had to choose between paying their bills, even with the new government's reversal, which now tops it up permanently to $175 above the existing $1,100, they say it's still far below the poverty line and will force people to continue to make devastating choices in their lives who are on disability assistance. We'll hear some of those voices right now, including Councillor Jean Swanson, as well as organizers and members of the Downtown Eastside community. The event was billed as a parade to end poverty, and it even had a jazz band with stand-up bass, saxophone, and electric guitar, as well as many placards and signs and an art project showing the impacts of disability assistance cuts being kept so low for tens of thousands of British Columbians. Here's a bit of the sound of that band, which helped the group take over the busy intersection of Dunsmuir and Howe Street on Thursday, very close to the provincial government's offices. responsible for social assistance and social development. That was the Tim Sars Trio playing in a blocked-off intersection of Dunsmuir and Howe last Thursday to demand the rates be raised for disability assistance permanently to $300 above the existing amount, bringing it up to about $1,450 a month. Currently, it sits just over $1,100, and the government last week announced it was raising it by an additional $175, only partly reversing their cuts from the COVID supplement. Here are some of the speeches from the rally, starting with Jean Swanson, city councillor.
A few months ago, the feds gave us CERB, $2,000 a month. It was a recognition that a human being needs $2,000 a month to live. Then the province said, okay, if you're on welfare or disability, you can have $300 a month. Another recognition, not at way less than $2,000, but at least better than what we've got now. And then they even took that math, and then, was it yesterday or the day before, they announced this measly $175, which is actually only $25 more than we got last month or the month before. So the fact is that you can't live, you can't eat and pay the rent on what you're getting for welfare. Now, on the other side of the equation, 87 families in Canada are richer than the poorest 12 million. Jimmy Pattison, the richest person in BC, made $5.5 billion during the pandemic. $5.5 billion. Does the billion with a B. Does the government want to know where it could get the money to raise welfare? We need a wealth tax. Chip Wilson made $1.9 billion with a B since the pandemic. While other people are struggling, he's profiting from the pandemic. We need a wealth tax, and we need welfare to go up to the poverty line, which is about $2,000 a month. Thanks for coming out, you guys. We just have to keep up the pressure, keep up the pressure. Don't get too disillusioned.
And that was Vancouver City Councillor Jean Swanson speaking at the 300 to Live rally downtown last Thursday. Now we'll hear from some of the other speakers with direct lived experience of being on disability assistance and what the cuts mean to them. We'll start first with John, who provided only his first name. And a warning to our early morning and family listeners, there's some very strong language in this speech.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease, so you got to complete complaining and make a lot of noise, okay? We need $2,000. They've already by giving us $175, they've already proven that they'll bend. So we have to actually keep complaining, and then we'll be able to, you know, get more, hopefully. You know what I mean? You got to make a lot of noise, because they're killing us. There's not enough money, you know what I mean, to live off of. They want us to do crime, basically, they're saying. It's the only way we can survive. You know what I mean? We have to do things on our own, and we're going to. So it's the only way to do it. So let's hear from everybody. Raise the rates, everybody. You know what I mean?
Hi, everybody. I'm John. I'm from Vandu. And, you know, I live on the east side, and I see every day, brothers and sisters wallowing in the dirt and the filth. You know, they don't got nothing. We don't got nothing. They're not allowed to have visitors. You know, people are dying, man. People's lives are being ruined, man. People are perishing, you know, perishing on by the wayside, and no one seems to give a fuck. And I'm tired of it, you know? So I just wanted to come down here today just to say that $175 is a fucking slap in the face, and we need more.
And that was John, an organizer with the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users, speaking at the Disability Rates Rally. Next, we'll hear from Miles Harps. He's involved in the Drinkers Lounge program, which we actually did a special show on several weeks ago here on The Pulse. Here's Miles speaking on Thursday.
This means so much to me, man. I'm on the board of directors at Vandu. I'm on that board because I care. I'm on the Illicit Drinkers Group Steering Committee. That's for people that drink rubbing alcohol, mouthwash, and everything else. Can't even afford to buy themselves real liquor. We do have programs in place. We have the Drinker's Lounge, where you can turn in a bottle of rubby for a bottle of wine or a bottle of beer. I was in the hospital for over 2 months because I burnt my stomach out drinking that shit because I didn't have enough money to buy the good stuff. And they keep raising the price of that. It's called the MAP program, and it saves people lives. We have a pandemic. We have an overdose crisis. But in reality, the one that takes the most is the alcoholics, because they die of exposure, liver disease, wet brain, and all of them are dual users. They get drunk and they take too much. We don't have the proper things going on here for us. Our rent increase is great. It helps us get the proper stuff that we need. You get on the MAP program and they deliver it to your house. That stuff that Vandu started, it was nothing to do with the city. It was us. It was us that did it. Right, Ben? Right, Vince? You know, I was going to a board meeting today, so I wasn't really prepared for the outside, but I got help. I got a raincoat. It's not my Gore-Tex, but it'll do. Anyhow, I got a little joke for you guys, and a nice clean one, because I like people to be happy. So anyhow, there's a old couple being interviewed, and the old man's talking about how he chases women all the time. So they finally turned to the wife and they said, "Don't you get jealous of him chasing women all over the place?" She says, "Well, dogs chase cars, but they don't know how to drive." You know, I lived on the streets for a number of years, but I had a girlfriend help me, so I was real lucky. I always had a really nice park bench, all that kind of stuff. You had no bars in the middle. That's important if you're homeless. Cover's important if you're homeless. You got to get smart on the street when you're homeless. The problem is you get a certain mentality where you don't trust anybody. And that's not a good thing. So we need homes and we need money for that. We need homes built. We had a mayor, Gregor Robinson, 58 West Hastings, was supposed to be total. He signed a paper right in front of everybody, big media blowout. What happened is still a parking lot. It's not even a parking lot, it's just an empty lot. We fought for that. They're screwing us all the time. And we need bigger protests. I got thrown down because I did outreach work. I did outreach work, and a guy was having a bad day and threw me down, and I broke my hip. Cops asked me if I wanted to charge him. I said, no. He's a brother. He had a bad day. You got to learn to forgive each other. And I've learned that. I've had lots to say because I've been in isolation. I got all my shots now, so I'm a safe cat. And it's important you get your shots, too, when you can get them. Because the only way we're going to stop this shit so we can get bigger people together is to get healthy. And that means so no virus is going to stop us. So it's important for all of us to stand as one, as a loud voice for the people. Thank you very much.
And that was Miles Harp speaking on Thursday. This event was organized by a coalition including the 300 to Live campaign, the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition, and the Community Action Network. Here's one of the organizers, Maddie, speaking on Thursday. And you're listening to Vancouver Co-op Radio's The Pulse on CFRO, a daily show every 7 a.m. at 100.5 FM, Vancouver Cooperative Radio, and online at thepulse.cooperadio.org. Let's go back to the event. Billed as a parade to end poverty, about raising rates for disability assistance to at least the poverty line.
I've been talking to a lot of people who work in healthcare, and I tried to get them to get some statements in time, but they were all too burnt out. I just want to shout out for how hard it is to be in healthcare when you're trying to serve people who don't have enough money to get the basic needs. And burnout is really huge, and people's lives get risked from different ailments that happen when your job isn't working.
Maddie also spoke about the campaign Insufficient Art Project, which was inspired by the Disability Assistance Campaign, and collected testimonies and created artwork and portraits of people on disability assistance in BC. If you want, you can find out more about artist Roz McLean's campaign, The Insufficient Art Disability Assistance Is Not Enough, at insufficientartproject.ca.
This is a really amazing project by Roz McLean with a really great interviews, the testimonials with people on disability. So we just have a couple of those out today, and we're going to read them out. So this is an interview with AJ. So the question is, please share about yourself, your experience with the disability assistance benefit, and anything else you would like people to know. So this is AJ's response. I live in West Vancouver in a co-op with subsidized rent. Thank God. I'm deaf and I have cerebral palsy and a rare genetic disease. Thankfully, this disease is manageable by limiting protein, but I need to eat more often to maintain my energy level. I'm a mixed media artist painter. I love riding my trike. This is my lifesaver. I can't afford physiotherapy or massage therapy. I think I need the physio daily, but at $75 a pop, it's too much. Plus, I'd love if naturopathy was allowed as an option for good health. The next question is, do you have enough money for basic needs, quality of life, independence, other needs like medical care, mobility aids, assistive technology? This is AJ's response to that question. None. I have to save my money to buy my own clothes and shoes. My absolute basic need of shelter and internet and food is met, but nothing else. Everything else I have to save up for. The bus, I have the concession pass that I chose because I don't ride the SkyTrain often. I'm very independent within my means. Mobility aids, the government chooses for me, no options. I have an iPad that is generously provided by an organization that helps with communication. I find the government is very strict with their form that must be filled out in full every month. Some questions are downright humiliating, like is there a warrant out for my arrest? So that's a huge the idea that people are getting in the way and really getting people to fill out forms that really invade their privacy and their take months to fill out. This is a huge issue.
And that was Maddie reading one of the testimonials from an art project inspired by the 300 to Live campaign. Maddie was an MC and organizer of the 300 to Live rally. You can find more out about the campaign on Facebook at 300 to Live, as well as other social media channels like Twitter and Instagram. You can also find the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition at bcpovertyreduction.ca.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.